This is Huyen, and you are listening to IELTS with Huyen. IELTS with Huyen is the podcast dedicated to people who would like to self-study for the IELTS exam. So if you are new here, I would like to introduce a little bit about myself. My name is Huyen, and I have been teaching English as well as IELTS for almost 7 years. So I'm quite confident that I can share with you a lot of things. If you have not followed me on social media, please do so. You can find me on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, and YouTube at IELTS with Huyen. And my website is IELTSwithHuyen.com. So basically, a lot of people have told me that they have taken IELTS several times and they have not been able to get more than 6.5, and they really don't know why. I think it is really understandable because 6.5 is kind of a cutoff line in IELTS. Now, if you are listening to this podcast episode, your English is good enough to get by every day. You can easily have a casual, even formal conversation with other people in English. You can order food at a restaurant. You can ask for directions. You can even work in a particular field using English. And this is all you need to get 6.5 overall. However, IELTS is an exam, right? If you are stuck at 6.5, stick to the end of this episode because this is how you're going to break the curse. One of the most important things you need to do in order to get more than 6.5, or in other words, to break this curse, is to know where you are at the moment. Now, you are at 6.5 overall, right? We all know that. That's why you are here with me. But you also need to know where you are at with each skill. Your overall IELTS score is calculated as the average of all four skills. Here are some things you need to do before you jump into practice to get more than 6.5. First of all, you need to know and you need to determine your target score. Is it 7 or is it higher? And based on your target, you can create a study plan, because if you don't know your target, it is very difficult to prepare and to plan for your study. The second thing is to identify your weaknesses and your strengths. Now, you need to know which skill you find most difficult to improve and which skills you find most confident with. I think you already know that because you have taken IELTS several times and the highest score you got will be 6.5. That's why you're here. So I would like you to look at the results that you got from the latest test to see which skill got the lowest score and which skill got the highest score. And also, if you have 6.5, all the skills, for example, you can look at the skills that you find most difficult and the skills that you find most confident with. Last but not least is to determine how much time you have for practice. If you have a limited amount of time, say less than a month, I would suggest you improve your strong skills first and maintain your weak skills. But if you have longer time, you can start thinking about improving your weak skills too. I am not saying that within a month you can jump from 6.5 to 7.5 or 8 or 9. What I'm saying is that the longer time you have, the more time you have for practice. And for that, you will get higher score. So practice time is also crucial in preparation. Now I'm going to talk about reading. In order to get 6.5, you need to understand the text and you need to have some basic reading comprehension. But in order to get more than 6.5, say 7 and above, you really need good reading rules. I know that you think you fully understand what you are reading, but reading and reading comprehension are two completely different things. You can read something, but it doesn't mean you fully understand it. To test the comprehension in IELTS, you not only have to read a few pieces of writing, but you also have to answer questions using the information from the text. Are you sure you know where the information is? I think only when we fully understand the text can we easily find the answer. Here's another issue. Even if you understand the texts very well, you might not have enough time to answer all the questions because it already takes you a lot of time to read. That's right. You only have 60 minutes for 40 questions. The more time you spend on reading, the less time you have for answering the questions. And who cares if you understand or not if you can't answer the questions? Keep in mind that nothing but the number of correct answers matters in IELTS. That is why you really need to have good tactics. That means you need to have some rules for your reading exam. You need to know whether you should read the questions first or you read the text first. It depends on the kind of questions you are dealing with, by the way. And you also need to know when to stop reading because you either have missed the information or it doesn't really exist, as in true, false, not given. You need to multitask for sure, right? And you also need to be mindful of all types of questions at the same time. I have a full episode about reading rules. You can check it out. I put the link in the caption. But I'm going to share with you two tactics that I often refer to when it comes to IELTS reading. The number one go-to tactic of mine is never read the whole text the second time. It means I read and answer the questions at the same time. If I find myself pre-reading a text to find just one answer, I know it is not going well. It means I need to stop and move on to the next question. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to make it on time. Another tactic that works perfectly for me is to improve my reading speed. I would try to read and understand the texts as fast as I can. The faster, the better. I accepted that IELTS reading isn't reading for pleasure. It is something that is very technical, and I would not enjoy most of the topics in IELTS reading, but I have to read and I have to try to comprehend it. And since I read and answer the questions at the same time, I don't really need the information to stay in my mind for such a long time. Just long enough for me to find the correct answers. That's it. So it happens to me that after taking the exam, I don't really remember what my answers were. I can remember the main idea of the texts, but not the details. You know, this might not work if I am reading for pleasure, but with time restrictions in IELTS reading exam, it helps me focus on what is important the most. So if you've been practicing, you must know that in IELTS reading, the level of difficulty goes from part 1 to part 3. It means that if you can do well in part 1, it is more challenging for you to do well in part 2 and 3. What I often tell my students is that if they can make sure they are 100% correct in part 1, they will have a better chance, basically, to get a high score. Of course, there are exceptions, but to be honest, I don't often see it happen. That is reading. What about listening? Now, I know that a lot of people have told you that taking notes in IELTS or listening is a waste of time. But I can confidently tell you that it is not really true. It is the other way around. It is useful and it works very well with all my students. You might find it difficult in the beginning for sure, but in the long run, it will help you. I promise. The reason is very simple, okay? So you get a bunch of recordings and you get to listen to them only once. And at the same time, you need to show that you understand everything in the talks by answering 40 questions. Like in reading, it doesn't really matter if you really, truly, completely understand or not if you don't have correct answers. Apart from a few questions that you are so confident with the answer, you are confused, right? Because you don't have any texts to refer to, nor do you remember the details of what you have got. If you take a chance to take a few notes while you're listening, you will, on the other hand, have some text to refer to when you feel confused. The idea is that you need to listen and answer the questions at the same time. And I know that you're stuck at 6x5, that's why you're listening to this episode. I know that you are struggling to listen and answer. the question at the same time. As a result, you might benefit from taking notes. At the end of each listening part, you will have some time to check your answers. That is when you make sure your answers are correct based on the notes that you take while listening. Isn't it convenient? The next thing I would like to share in today's episode is to be correct and natural. I don't know how much I have to emphasize on this. I think I have talked about this so many times, but I don't mind talking about it again. Because unlike what you are often told, I don't suggest you use too complicated grammar structures and rare words. Even though you do need to show off your high level of grammar and vocabulary, those are not necessary. You don't have to sound like, you know, Shakespeare to get a high score in IELTS writing and speaking. I don't know if you're aware of this, but words you don't know aren't necessarily advanced, and words you know aren't necessarily basic. All you need to do is to make sure you're grammatically correct and the words you are using are appropriate. Of course, everything should be natural. It shouldn't sound like you are forcing it into the sentences. Learning a bunch of academic and advanced words or incorporating some crazy grammar structures doesn't really help if you don't know how to use them correctly and naturally. In fact, in my opinion, it would backfire, resulting in a reduction in your score. As a teacher, I offer classes as well as provide correction services and speaking evaluations. So when people send me their writing, I could tell right away if that piece is written from their own knowledge or if it's just a big puzzle made from different people's styles. If I can see through that, those well-trained examiners will not find it difficult to do the same. Keep in mind that if they suspect that you memorized your answer, there's no room for getting higher than 4. But it is easier to be correct than to be natural, right? A grammar book and a dictionary can tell you if what you're writing or saying is correct, but you need someone who knows to tell you if it is natural. To practice, I would strongly suggest you read more books and listen to high-level English speeches such as TED Talks. While you're reading and listening, highlight some expressions and words you find most interesting and try to use them in the same way that the authors and the speakers do. You can also have your writing and speaking checked by a professional or use a correction service. Speaking of IELTS speaking, there's one topic that I often feel a little bit hesitant to touch because it would spark a lot of debate between learners, but since we're talking about IELTS and we're talking about how to get higher than 6.5, I would like to share my opinion here and I would like to share what I learned and my experience. What I'm trying to tell you here is to be mindful of your pronunciation. Firstly, I would like to emphasize that your accents don't matter in IELTS speaking unless your accent is so heavy that it affects the way people understand what you're trying to say. If your accent creates mispronunciation, it is considered making mistakes in pronunciation, not accent. For example, Arabic speakers might have problem distinguishing the P sound and the B sound. As a result, some people often say bay instead of pay. Right, so that is a mispronunciation. But if a Hindi speaker pronounces the R sound a little bit heavier than other people do, it is not a pronunciation mistake. However, if you want to get a higher score in IELTS speaking, let's say an 8 or a 9, you need to be mindful of your accent. You should know what your weaknesses are and try to improve them. For example, if you're aware that your TH sound is not so good and you want to get an 8.5 in IELTS speaking, you need to pay more attention to it. Listeners might not have any problem understanding the TH sound, but since you're trying to get a very high score, in this case, 8.5. You should make it better. But also keep in mind that it doesn't have to be 100% like the native. And I don't know what native we are talking about here, right? So it should be comprehensible without any problems. I do believe that we all have accents, and accents show where we are from. And I love my accent, and I love everybody's accent. It shows that we can speak at least two languages, and it's very cool to be multilingual, right? I know that getting ready is a bit daunting for you, especially when you are on your own. So if you need my help, don't hesitate to reach out, book a one-on-one lesson with me, or reserve a seat in my workshops. And if you are trying to self-study, you need somebody to check your work in writing and speaking, also contact me. For now, have fun learning, and I will see you in other episodes. Bye.